podcast equivalent to a 100-foot radioactive robot lizard.
But with horn-rimmed glasses and a pocket protector.
That's nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape.
We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games.
And sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
Ah, here we go. Another hostful, an OG hostful.
Yeah.
OMG.
Yes, Dustin is off this week. So
we're in so many ways.
Well, he's off every week, but that's another story. So it's Monday night. As we're recording this, Gotham just ended.
It was awesome.
I was going to say,
I didn't watch a second of it, actually. It's on my DVR.
I was going to say, I haven't watched it yet. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to probably watch it.
Same. It's on my DVR.
Yes, I watched Big Bang Theory instead. Sorry.
Dude,
that just took you down a notch, man.
Well, you know, it's one of my favorite shows. And I'm a little worried.
You're digging deeper, man.
I'm a little worried about Gotham from some of the previews I've seen. I'm going to put that out there. Haven't watched it yet. Just a little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start off like we do all the time with our Stump the Geek, Geek of the Week. Our last week's question, you guys weren't here for. I recorded it separately. But the question was, at what age did Stan Lee write The Fantastic Four number one?
I'm going to say somewhere between 20 and 50.
It's not, you have to pick an age. It's not a multiple choice.
Am I right, though?
You're close.
Okay.
In which lifetime?
52.
No. How about you, John? Do you know this one?
In which lifetime?
In his lifetime.
In the current Earth.
Yeah, in the 616 continuity.
616 continuity.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I don't know.
He
was born with all of these ideas to give unto us in the world.
Anyway, he was actually 39 when he wrote that and it was published. And we have actually a repeat winner this week. Not a lot of people submitted answers. A couple of people asked, is this a trick question, but never...
How hard is that one to answer, though?
I don't know.
Like,
it's math.
That's basic Googling. You figure out what year it was released. You figure out how old Stan Lee is, and you extrapolate. It's math.
Yes, yeah.
You'd think that geeks who listen to our show would be good at math.
You would think that. So the winner this week is Brent Yard. He won before. He's one of our Facebook followers. I picked the question because I find it very inspiring, being around that age.
Within the vicinity, yes.
In the vicinity
of that age. Within spitting distance of it.
Yes. It was, for those who don't know the story, Stan Lee he had worked in the comic book industry, I think, since the age of 16.
He was incredibly young, yes.
Yes. So he had, you know, at that point, he had worked in the comic book industry for 23 years, and wanted to be a writer, and it wasn't going the way he wanted.
Because... Yeah, it was definitely, I got the impression it was a very reluctant role that he took, because there wasn't other things that, you know, that were working out for him. He wanted to be a writer, but he just couldn't, you know, get together his writing stuff. And
right.
So he settled for this. You know, essentially, I think it started as an internship.
Yes,
that turned into a career.
Yes, he used to run everywhere. to make himself, you know, so he would get things quicker so that he would be a better intern. But he, and that's also the reason he used the name Stan Lee is whenever he decided to be a serious writer and write novels, he was going to use his actual name, Stanley
Lieber. Right?
Lieber or Lieberman?
Something like that.
Okay.
You're the expert.
So he decided to leave Marvel at that point. And, before he left, before he was going to leave, he was asked to write a book. And of course, Justice League had come out from DC at that point. So team books were all the rage and they asked him to write a team book. And, he was ready to quit. And his wife said, well, go ahead and write it anyway. You're going to quit. Just write it the way you want to. You know, don't take any notes from anyone. Just write it the way you want to. Get it in, get it published, and at least you've written, right, and at least you've written something the way you wanted to. And of course, the rest is history. You know, Fantastic Four number one spawned the whole entire Marvel universe as we know it. So it's inspiring in the fact that it doesn't matter if you're 39, 40, 41, 50. It doesn't mean your life's over. You can always start something new and wonderful at that point. So,
which is not in comics, because.
You know, John, you're always the buzzkill.
Well, I'm the one that's not drinking, so I have to be responsible.
So Brent, you're the geek of the week. Congratulations. You're the honorary beard of knowledge.
Yes.
No one can contest your comic book knowledge for the rest of the week.
Except for me.
Except for Ben. Oh, I didn't realize. That's
always a caveat.
That's the hook.
I can question anybody.
Yes, okay. So this week's question. It's another Superman question, boys and girls, because I couldn't come up with anything else. And the question is, okay, so in the 50s, believe it or not, boys and girls, Superman carried a weapon with him. The question is, what was the weapon and what was it made out of? That's the question for the week.
It was made out of Hitler's mustache, which he ripped off of him by his own hands.
It seems ineffective.
Yeah, I don't think you could get far with mustaches. So now that we got that out of the way, any good news, guys?
My God, where do you start?
I've heard a thing or two. Well, pick a realm. Let's start. Do we want to do TV, comics, or cinema first?
Let's go in order of the email that I got.
Oh, that you finally read? That you just read now?
Well, actually, I'm just opening it now, but yeah, okay, I'll get to the reading part soon.
So we'll start in the movie realm.
Yeah, let's start in the movie realm. So Deadpool is officially greenlit from Fox, and they will be making a Deadpool movie. Fourth wall will be broken.
Yes, it will. It's scheduled for demolition.
Yes.
He's getting a movie because he broke the fourth wall, walked into the Fox execs and slapped them all silly and asking, you know, during, what the hell were you thinking? You've got my rights, you idiots.
And they're targeting a 2016 release for it. So they want to move forward quickly with it. Nice. That's pretty cool. Now, associated with this, I sent this along to you guys as well, is that it's rumored, and again, this is rumor mill, so we don't know how true this is, they want a PG-13 rating for it.
Didn't they get it? I thought they got that.
Those well, bleeping a-holes.
Well, okay, hold on. You just illustrated my point perfectly, Ben. That's something I didn't get to say yet. A lot of fanboys were upset by this PG-13 rating, but I want everyone to think about this. When you read a Deadpool comic, especially the early days, they might slip words now and then in the books, but they really don't. What do they do when somebody curses? They, you know, put the funny symbols in place of the curse word, right? That would be perfect in a Deadpool movie to bleep him. Because then he can turn around and break the fourth wall at that point and go, why are the bleeping censors bleeping me? You know, they could tie it in because it ties in with him being censored in the comics. And, you know, now he breaks the fourth wall and he's talking to the people about being censored. So I think it's, you know, just go that way. It's perfect. I mean, it doesn't have to be overly bloody or anything either.
Well, but the comics are kind of overly bloody. Mm-hmm. So it would be weird if it wasn't. And that's actually one of the concerns I have with the PG-13 rating is that it may not be, I understand why they're doing it and I don't disagree with them for going after it. But my concern is there would be a little bit of a compromise of not, I want to say integrity, but it's not really, you know, there's a certain thematic level of violence that comes along with Deadpool that I think is going to have to get tempered for them to maintain the PG-13 rating.
You know, yeah. I don't know because I mean it'd be nice if it had a PG-13 rating, but you're talking about a universe where the Hulk can punch somebody, anybody, and get away with not completely smashing them right there in the air to a bloody pulp, and where a guy who has lasers for eyes can hit anybody and not cut them in two.
Right, but because they're not cutting them in two, or they're not, you know, turning them into a bloody pulp, they can get away with it.
Right.
You know, because you're not seeing that. You're not even seeing an innuendo to that level of violence happening. There's really not a problem with it. But, you know, it's with Deadpool, you want to be able to be a little bit gratuitous.
Well, you have to. That's the character. And you're right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'd love to see one of these with a rated R, you know. I mean, just because it won't happen, of course. It's, you know, Disney owns it, but, and I'm sure Stan yeah. Lee, I don't know.
It's Fox.
It's Fox, right.
Disney.
Oh, that's right.
Part of the right. X-Men Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Weird spinoff world.
Did you not just send us a graphic that showed that Deadpool's owned by Fox?
That was five minutes ago.
Yes, yes. But, well, then I reverse my decision and say, wait a minute, it's 20th Century Fox. What the hell? Why doesn't it have an R rating?
Don, you're the one who isn't drinking. What's going on here?
I know.
No, and actually, regardless of the rating, and I agree, you know, but the test footage that they showed, there wasn't gratuitous blood or anything in it. Which leads me to my next point. We've speculated this kind of stuff on the show before. But do you guys feel they floated that test footage on purpose to see?
I think we all posited that last, you know, one of the previous times that we talked about it. Mm-hmm. That probably is true. I think that they did float that to sort of gain or to garner interest and figure out if it's, you know, something that's worth time and effort. And they got positive feedback, so they're going for it. Now, whether that test footage will be at all reflective has yet to be seen.
Right.
As long as they don't adhere at all to the continuity they created with the Wolverine Origins movie.
Well, yes. I think
at they, all.
I think they have safely rebooted that with Days of Future Past in the sense of saying, you know, everything that happened before now is kind of rebooted. Because they went back in the past, blah, 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 changed things that happened. So I think they can kind of say, yeah, that Wolverine Origins movie did not happen. So Deadpool was not turned into a guy with his mouth shown shut who could shoot lasers from his eyes and have swords in his arms.
So you're up to speed with the fans is what you're saying.
So what you're saying is the reason they created Days of Future Past was so that they could fix what they screwed up with Wolverine Origins?
Yes.
I'd go with that.
It's exactly what they did.
And X3.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't exist either.
No.
Now, yeah.
Now, yeah, it's gone.
Retcon, never. You are a beautiful thing.
You didn't see anything.
Are you doing a Penguins of Madagascar reference?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I even motioned my hands in front of the mic for no reason.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
So... Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm excited, you know. He's one of my favorite characters. A co-host who is not with us tonight does not agree with that, but you're not here, Dustin, so sorry.
That is going to be a challenging movie to write, though. I mean, man.
Well,
I mean,
it's
hard to not overdo it, and it'll be hard to underdo it.
All right. Well,
hard not to underdo it. It's just going to be...
I think it definitely is. Well, any movie is hard.
Well, let's call it out.
It's definitely going to be. Well, all right. So go ahead, Dave.
So let's call this out. We want to try to do something. We want to, you know, for our listeners at home, we want to try to have like regular segments on the show. We were talking about this before. So, we're going to now do what we call the writer's room, where we suggest, we already started talking about this.
We've done this informally a few times.
But what elements would you want to see in the Deadpool movie and what do you definitely not want to see? So John.
This is easy.
Yes, you go ahead, start.
I'd want to see Deadpool reach off screen and pull Spider-Man over and then pull Tony Stark over too. And then push him off screen again while making some inane point.
I think that's a reach. I don't think that's likely to happen. That would require cross two studios cooperation.
That would require them to realize that they would make so much more money if they did stuff like that, because just them appearing for 1 second on the film would get people in the doors. But, for Deadpool, I mean, it's a fine line to walk, you know, and the writing is going to have to be spot on because he's comical in a way, but he's also, like you say, breaks the fourth wall all the time. So literally anything can happen.
Yeah.
They could literally at one point have him drop off screen and then have somebody in costume run down through the middle of the aisles in the movie theater. And that would be part of the movie. People would take that, you know,
that would be awesome.
That would be taking things pretty far. But the problem is that'd be expensive.
Well, I know.
Reproduce that.
But it's an example of things that people would actually accept it from this movie.
You're right.
You know, that would literally be acceptable in this mythos. So, you know, maybe have him reach off screen and pull Superman over. Of course, that's even less. Well, that's more likely than the other two.
So but, let's talk about what we like to see that's actually feasible and likely.
Well,
I think that for this to work, I think that things to avoid. I don't think they need to do a Deadpool origin story.
Oh, God.
I don't think that that's necessary. I don't think anyone wants that per se. I think that the Deadpool has to be established. You know, they should follow the, you know, Marvel's recent rule of no origin stories and go with a, you know, media res version of Deadpool. He already exists. He's already active and doing things. And the story, may not necessarily initially start centered around him per se, or that when it does in such a way where there's not really ongoing action, he's getting pulled into something else that involves his skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really what it should be is it should be a mission movie where he's given a mission and maybe it challenges his, you know, merc with a mouth attitude a little bit, challenges him to be a little bit more than just, a gun for hire. Definitely the breaking the fourth wall has to be a thing. If they ignore that, if they leave that out, it's not honoring the spirit of the character.
Right.
But you don't want to overdo it either. You don't want to go to the, you know, Roger Rabbit cartoon end of it where, you know, he's just acting like reminiscent of like the, you know, the occasional Bugs Bunny cartoons where he's fighting with the animator kind of thing. You don't want to go that far.
Which he has though in the past.
He has.
In some of the cartoons. But what you're talking about is a man versus himself storyline.
Agreed.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you could, I mean, even if you just did it at the Ferris Bueller level, where he just talks to the audience every once in a while, I think it would work. I kind of feel like we should have a mixture of Spider-Man and Heath Ledger's Joker for Deadpool. You know, he should seem like he doesn't have a plan, but he does. And it should, you know, and it's just crazy enough to work kind of an idea. I also kind of think, yeah, no origin story. I agree with Ben 100%. Like, have him start off as a mercenary and somebody hires him, you know?
Yeah.
That's the story. And he, you know, gets pulled into a situation that's bigger than him and, you know, he becomes the hero, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. With that in mind, who else should be in the movie? Who would be good characters to draw from? Obviously, they have the X-Men, you know, suite of characters to work from. But who do you think would be good accessory characters, both as good guys and bad guys, to be a part of this story?
You think they could work Cable into it, seeing as how he's like the only one that they haven't really used yet?
That would be, I think it'd be too big. I think it'd be too much, too fast. I think you'd have to start with something, smaller. I think Cable's something you could introduce in a later movie potentially, or in an after credit scene, you know, teasing, you know, the sequel. But, I don't think you make the first outing for Deadpool be a Deadpool Cable, team up.
Well, you could use Ant-Man. He's smaller.
Yeah, but he's not really accessible to them.
Yes, he's over at Marvel.
I get it, though. I get it. So.
Well, you have to include Death, I think. The Marvel version of Death. Because that's... But they make so many references to that being his girlfriend in the comics that she would have to be included in some way. Oh, you know?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think... I still think, you know, a cameo at the end with Cable, you know, setting up the sequel.
That I could see. I just don't see it being the main storyline of the first movie.
Right.
Or you could have him be the reason why Cable shows up. Have him be the catalyst that brings Cable. Cable's from the future. Right? Yeah, so
future.
So have Deadpool be the reason why he shows up, and then there you go. You don't need an origin story because he's already there for the next X-Men movie or whatever. Or you could just have a Cable movie after that. There you go. There's your origin story. What happened? I met Deadpool. Oh, well, that explains everything.
Who would be a good villain?
That's a tough one. Actually, one that I might suggest only based on cartoons that I've seen with him in it where he's shown up is Taskmaster.
Yes. Yeah. I don't, but the question is with the villains, we don't know what studios they're at. And I
That's
know
true.
But Taskmaster is one that has been used, in his comics quite a few times as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We've got, yeah.
The only problem with Taskmaster is that he has a specific set of skills that they wouldn't really be able to show off very well opposite Deadpool.
Right. Right.
I've got a list here.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
It's like, let's see, we've got Cyclops, Emma Frost. Right, let's see if I can find one that we haven't seen. Iceman, Jubilee, Kitty Pryde, Lady Deathstrike, Oyama, Leech, Magneto, Mastermind, Multiple Man, Nightcrawler, Psylocke. I don't think we've seen
Psylocke. You're just listing all the X-Men.
Well, it's just these are all of the characters
isn't
that are...
Psylocke, I've got a, isn't Psylocke like half-sister to... What are they called? The twins, Wanda and
Quicksilver.
Yeah,
not sure. So I'm just reading the list of characters that 20th Century Fox has rights to.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I found the list.
It's all the X-Men, so it's quite an array of characters.
They also have non-mutants too, and then the Fantastic Four. And yeah, right. I was hoping maybe there was somebody in the list that maybe we hadn't seen yet, but it looks like they've managed to put most of them on.
Hmm.
Although I don't think we haven't seen Jubilee, have we?
No, I don't think we have. But just a thought occurred to me that they've said they've gone back and forth. I think Fox has said that at one point they said they were going to have continuity between the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, and other times they have said they haven't really, or you won't really see any if there is any. But maybe Deadpool could be that bridge. So maybe you have some sort of cameo of Fantastic Four characters as well as some of the lesser known X-Men, you know, mixed together.
That would be cool if the executives would think that way.
Right, right. So another question too is like with the villain, would you want a serious villain to play off his wisecracking comedy kind of thing? Or would you want a comedic villain and have it be a full-out comedy?
Isn't that the point?
You need a serious villain. You need a straight man, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Chance was another one. I've seen him. He's a villain who everything's based on probability.
Hmm.
He's been used in the Spider-Man comics as well.
Is he the one with the eye, with the one eye glowing?
I don't know. Normally wears goggles.
There's a lot of characters with one eye glowing.
Yeah, that's true. Not just Cable. There was one other guy. I remember he messed with probability. I forget what his name was.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Though I'm looking at a list of villains, and Abraham Lincoln is on it. Well, Abe Lincoln.
Well, he did hunt vampires, I guess, at one point.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. Yes, that would be an interesting Abraham Lincoln versus Deadpool. That's the first movie, ladies and gentlemen. I think we got it.
I got nothing more.
All right. Moving on, sticking in the world of Marvel, just a little bit of news. They are definitely moving forward with Doctor Strange because Marvel's currently in negotiations to find locations in England to film Doctor Strange. So,
right, shooting at Pinewood Studios.
Yes. Well, everything's done at Pinewood Studios in England.
But just saying that they're shooting at the British equivalent to Hollywood.
Yes, where Star Wars is being filmed.
Right.
Yes. So.
All right. There's your crossover right there.
Doctor Strange and Star Wars?
Well,
hold on. Let's think.
Stranger what would that be like? Things.
Okay. They've had Star Trek and X-Men.
I don't know. There's time continuity issues there.
And there wasn't with X-Men and Star Trek?
I'm not questioning that right now. It hasn't happened in the cinematic universe, and I think the cinematic universe has to be a little bit more realistic than
sure with Deadpool.
Slightly more realistic than X-Men in soap operas.
Just slightly.
Yeah, that was jumping the shark.
But yeah, I'm curious how they're gonna work Strange and his whole world into this world that they've weaved. And who's going to play him? I mean, that's still to this day is still up in the air, it seems. They still, you know, tease around whether it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix or some other person that they have yet to pin down.
I just want to see after they finish that movie, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sitting there with brooms and barrels labeled Magic Hazmat. Cleaning up.
There was actually a comic in the 90s, I think, called Damage Control. It was a miniseries. It was about the people who actually had to clean up after the superheroes had their fights.
Yeah, that would be in I could see that work. That is definitely an important issue to deal with.
Yes. They had to rebuild, the Statue of Liberty after it was destroyed. And all those wonderful things.
Now the thing with Doctor Strange, though, that definitely introduces magic into this cinematic universe, right? There's no way to get around it at that point. So, and well, it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No one seems to care.
What?
I said I've offered one, but no one seems to care.
It's science we don't understand.
No, exactly. No, that's Thor. This is magic. They've already explained Thor as the,
Thor is incredibly advanced technologies.
Right.
Doctor Strange's magic is really channeling energies from alternate dimensions.
So he jacked the cable to Asgard?
Not exactly. But if you want to look at it that way, sure.
It still sounds like magic. Here's a question in all seriousness. We all know it. Age of Ultron comes out next year, and, the Scarlet Witch is going to be in that. So are they just going to explain her as having psychic abilities, or is that going to be the first step towards quote-unquote magic?
Yeah, but was she magic? I thought it was just her mutant power that affected reality. It wasn't actual magic.
She has a mutant ability to manipulate, or a gifted ability to manipulate reality and probability.
Can't say mutant.
But I think that my guess is that we will be indoctrinated in how that can be feasible throughout this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as they introduce more gifteds this season.
Yes.
More supers, more metahumans, more whatever euphemism you want to use.
Euphemism? Oh, wait.
That's a valid use of that word, I think.
Possible.
So, I think there's some setup that they have ahead of them for Age of Ultron to be cohesive. But luckily, we will know where we can watch that in 2 years and 8 months from now.
Yes, on TNT of all places.
That was a smart move on their part, I think. So you know, as you're referencing, they have snatched up the premiere rights, the network television premiere rights for the next five Marvel films, including Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that was that was an awesome move on their part.
It was, but I read it and I thought that's pretty cool. But then my immediate next thought was, how will this impact the how quickly it will end up on Netflix? Because I think I think it's a legitimate question, because I don't know,
right?
Because you know, these rights that they set up for these things are sometimes sketchy, and it could sometimes stand in the way. Like, they could end up, you know, this 2 year, you know, 2 years after theatrical debut deal could give them a full year or more of time that only they're allowed to show it. And, you know, you wouldn't be able to also have it available through, you know, internet channels such as Netflix.
No, but I kind of think it works the other way, isn't it? Because it's TNT's, even though it's a cable channel, it's commercial television. So
it is.
They always end up with it last.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They end up with it last generally. But my point is that I wonder how that fits in the lineage of things.
Right, right.
I mean, I definitely know, obviously, theater first, and then we'll see, you know, on demand and, you know, Blu-ray, DVD release, and then it'll start showing up on either HBO or Cinemax or one of those channels for some period of time. And then eventually TNT is later down the stream. And I don't know in the current model how, like, Hulu and Netflix fit into that, you know, diorama of media juggling.
Right. No, that's a good question. And what's interesting to me about it is these are Marvel movies, so obviously they're all being produced and made through, you know, Disney, more or less. Why wouldn't ABC be the first channel to show them, since ABC's owned by Disney?
Well, if ABC got them, that's in-house money. It's not real money. But if they sell the rights to TNT, that's real money.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay.
And yeah, because they're selling it for a price, and there's no backsies on that money.
Whereas no backsies? Is that in the contract?
Yes. Whereas, you know, TNT has to decide where and when to run it and try to garner, you know, basically win back their money on commercials. So, which they could end up, you know, winning out pretty well, or they could show it at weird times and end up actually losing money. So, whereas either way, Disney wins.
You know, and what you're saying is that actually means that I'm sure Disney understands that, okay, we're selling it to TNT, and TNT may not make the best of decisions about showing it. So I'm sure they had something in there saying that it's only going to be for a month or two before they can start showing it on ABC, and then maybe, you know, and then DVD and then Netflix or whatever. I would see them giving it to him for a year.
No, yeah, I was just throwing that out as a hypothetical number. I'm sure there is some set number, some amount of time that's common for these types of contracts that isn't that lengthy of a time. Usually these things, you don't usually see a movie airing on any network for more than maybe a month or two at most. Mm. So it's probably something along those lines, and then it's open to whoever's next in line. But yeah, definitely, there's some open questions there. And like I said, my concern is if that's gonna, not that it's really a big issue, because I'm probably gonna buy it and own it on Blu-ray. But that aside, I would, you know, like to not have to wait as long if I could see it on Netflix easier. So.
Oh yeah. Well, we all want that.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing over no backseas.
It's on page 13 of the official contract.
Right. It's in every standard television contract. No backseas clause.
So to stay in the world of movies for a moment, and switching houses to DC, this is a rumor that is
a vicious rumor.
It's a vicious rumor that's gaining traction on the internet, because I've seen about three different comic book websites cover this so far, and I really don't like this. So the rumor is that Aquaman actually made an appearance in Man of Steel.
An inferred appearance
in Man of Steel. Really? Superman needed Aquaman to save him? It just doesn't, you know.
Right. So, and John, have you read this yet?
No.
Okay. Do you want to explain it, Dave, or do you want me to explain it?
Well, explain it, because I'm sure that the listeners would like to hear it, too.
I explained this, and I also explained this to my daughter the other day, and she and her reaction was, what?
That's my reaction, too. I'm right with
Yes. So here's the setting. So you remember in Man of Steel, there was a scene before Clark goes all Superman, when he's still doing the bouncing from odd job to odd job kind of thing. And he's working on the oil rig, right? And there's an explosion or a fire or whatever. I forget what the precipitant was. And he's saving everybody and ends up, like, you know, in the water, in the ocean. And, you know, they switch to the scene where he's, like, floating and he's got his eyes closed.
Right.
And he opens them up and you see some whales swim by, right? So, So what's being posited, the rumor is that scene was an Easter egg to Aquaman, in that those whales were there at Aquaman's behest and were pushing Clark to the surface so that he wouldn't drown.
Oh, you do know that in the how it should have ended for Superman.
I know.
They had,
I'm aware. So this could be how this rumor originated, that somebody saw that and somehow, you know, the telephone game resulted in this permutation of it. But yeah, that's who knows. So yeah, this rumor's floating around. No one's denying it per se. But you know, at the same time, it's probably, you know, to be taken with an enormous mountain of salt.
Probably a lethal amount.
Probably at least the Pacific Ocean's worth.
Well, the one criticism I read online was just, to me, it was spot on. It's like, so you're telling me trying to hold up one metal tower almost killed Superman to the point where he almost drowned and needed Aquaman to save him. But later on the movie, he gets thrown through three skyscrapers at a time and he's perfectly fine.
I don't think that's what they're saying, though. I think, because here's the thing, Aquaman doesn't know Superman from Adam. And that's not a reference to any other superhero. you know, this is just some dude who fell into the ocean after an oil rig exploded. So Aquaman, if he's in the vicinity and has any influence, he's going to react as if it's just any other person. So it's not as if he was, that they're suggesting that Superman needed to be saved, just that
true.
There was some evidence that Aquaman was existing and established prior to where he'll actually be formally introduced in the next movie.
Right.
And they're also saying his trident can actually cut Superman.
Maybe.
I'm actually reading it right now. That they
yeah, I've read that, yes.
Momoa called up. That's...
What the hell is this trident made out of?
It must be kryptonite.
No, it was magic.
The world engine went while it was running in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, okay.
But he wanted to sharpen it.
Yeah. No, Aquaman's trident actually is magic. I mean,
true.
They had magic in Atlantis, and so if it's magic, yeah, it'll probably
that's
cut
where
up,
it all
so.
Went.
yes, everyone who's listening, Superman is vulnerable to kryptonite and magic.
That's true.
So don't send us any angry letters.
Right.
Well, if you want to send angry letters, send them to John.
Problem, though.
NBC.
They've already gone out of their way to establish with Man of Steel that this is the gritty, grounded version of Superman where kryptonite isn't kryptonite. You know, he's not as invulnerable as he's colloquially known to be. You know, via the original Superman series, he is just, you know, he's affected, you know, there's a whole affected by the atmosphere. It's not absorbing rays from the sun. There's all these variances they've already introduced to make, you know, Kryptonians different from traditional, you know, canon. So that begs the question, does it really fit to introduce magic into this world either? Honestly, I think they'd have a better time introducing magic into the Marvel universe than they would into this one.
Could be.
There are a lot of DC superheroes that throw magic around.
I know.
So and a lot of villains too.
True, but we don't know how many of those they're going to keep in continuity with each other. Like we know that they're doing a Shazam movie, but we don't know that Shazam is going to play any part intermixed with these other characters. It could be standalone. So,
right,
and
right.
We know that they're introducing Wonder Woman, and there's a lot of, you know, Greek mythology origin and things around her, but at the same time, we don't know that they're going to go that way. There even had been rumors earlier on that I don't know whether they got squashed or not, that they may make the Amazonians have Krypton.
Oh boy, come on.
It was out there. I'm not saying this because I want it to happen.
No, I understand. I understand. It's just, you're taking away something from Wonder Woman by making her,
absolutely,
you know, have the same origin as Superman.
You're right.
So, one last thing in the movie world. I don't think this was huge news, but a lot of websites covered it because, the official synopsis for Age of Ultron came out.
Yeah.
Problem is there isn't anything in the synopsis that we don't already know from.
That's true. It's all been leaked. It's all information by now. If you don't know, go read it.
Yeah. Marvel Studios presents Age of Ultron, the epic follow-up to the biggest superhero movie of all time, which is not true because it's not the follow-up to Guardians of the Galaxy, but we won't go in there. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dominant peacekeeping program, things go awry, and Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance as the villainous Ultron emerges. It is up to the Avengers to stop him from enacting his terrible plans, and soon uneasy alliances and unexpected actions pave the way for an epic and unique global adventure. Yeah, exactly. We all know that Tony had something to do with Ultron, that they keep saying that. So the only thing is, okay, it was an old peacekeeping program, whatever that means.
Right, which I know what that means, or at least I have a suspicion of what that means.
Okay,
go ahead. That means that he is jumpstarting something, he's dusting off something that was put on the shelf, and it might have been put on the shelf by Hank Pym.
There you go.
That could work. And then that's how they can also tie in Ant-Man to the Avengers.
Exactly.
I like your thinking there, Ben. I give you an A+ for this one. all right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, nothing new. Again, we're hoping that Hank Pym is involved with the creation of Ultron because that's who created him in the comics. Let's be a little more true to the source material. TV news. I was really excited about this one. I was a huge fan of this show when it was originally on the air, and they're officially rebooting it.
Flash?
We already know that one.
We already know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not talking about the return of Mark Hamill as the trickster. No.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Gods.
I love how you say gods.
My daughter does that too.
The greatest American hero is coming back.
Papa?
They are rebooting it. Oh, man. I was such a fan of this show when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, this was a great show.
I mean, I would have to say it's not, maybe not single-handedly, but it is a big influence into me reading comics and possibly an influence into the type of characters I liked, being Spider-Man, Deadpool, and whatnot, because of the comedy in the show.
That show taught me how to be a ninja.
Wait, what?
And you show it well.
Well, it was shown. I was young at some point, and when the show was on, if I got in trouble, I wasn't allowed to watch it. So I learned how to be very sneaky and careful. Sneak down the stairs, belly first. Sneak around the corner, crawling on the carpet, wait until my parents were out of the room, get behind the couch so I could watch the rest of the show. So yes, I liked it too.
So your parents had to be watching it too for you to sneak and watch it.
Yeah, they actually did. Well, yeah, my father actually watched some stuff like that besides Godzilla. That was that's something he seemed to watch too. That show was, it only went on for 3 seasons, but it had some really great writing. And although it did jump the shark a little at the end by adding in, you know, some 80s tropes or 90s tropes where, you know, they had a band or whatever that the kids from the school, they also had some really, really good episodes. And the premise of him not having the instruction book was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was brilliant. That he basically had this suit that could do so many different things, and he didn't know how to control any of them. You know, he was basically this fumbling, you know, wannabe hero who often save the day, but not without bumbling his way through it.
Yeah.
So,
and then there was the name change because of the attempted assassination of President Reagan at the time.
Right. Right.
You know, his name was originally Hinckley, and then they changed it to Hambly the next season because the name of the assassin was Hinckley.
Right, it was Hinckley.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. It's funny. When I read this article, it prompted me to actually go. And for those who aren't familiar with The Greatest American Hero, it's a TV show that ran from 1980 to 1983. Believe it or not, I think all the episodes are available on YouTube.
Believe
it or not. You don't have to pay a dime. Just go to YouTube, look up Greatest American Hero, and I watched the premiere, which was a two-parter. It's funny, like, it's so 80s in the sense that, okay, the aliens come down. Oh yeah, sorry, spoilers. Aliens give him the suit. They give him, gives him these incredible powers. It's in this like funny case, and he pulls out this book that's just like in a side compartment. And he opens it up and says instructions, and he sticks it back in there, sticks the case under his arm, and he's walking out of the desert, and the instruction booklet falls out of the back.
Yep.
Then later on in the episode, he puts the suit on, he can't find the instruction booklet, and he's trying to figure out how to do things with it. Not once in the show do they show him go back to the desert and actually look for the instruction booklet.
Although in one of the later episodes, he was given the instruction booklet again.
Right. Yes. They give it to him again, and he loses it in the same episode, I think.
Within 15 minutes.
He does some cool things. He shrinks down super small.
Yes.
And the instruction booklet gets lost among grains of sand.
Yeah.
Yes. Because he shrinks down with the instruction booklet.
Yeah. Right.
Which would have been a better way for him to lose it in the first place.
Yeah, but just that fell out of the thing. Yeah, they would have required him to have done something with it first.
The definite highlights of that show were how the writers handled him trying to learn how to use the powers, like just flying. You know, he was always crashing into buildings because it took him 2.5 seasons to learn how to land. Yeah. And then there was of course Connie Sellecca. Who played his girlfriend at the time, and
she was there, all right.
Oh yeah, she was there for all the young boys at the time. Connie Sellecca was something. You know, they did try to reboot the series later on.
They did, and they had a handoff to someone else as the hero. Like
It was a greatest girl. American heroine. It was a girl.
Heroine. But everyone got confused by the word heroine.
It was actually in an episode of the show, and that's what they thought.
He disagrees with you, Dave.
Yeah, the dog is disagreeing with me. Yes. Pharaoh, shut up. They thought that's what they were going to do, was have a handoff to her and continue the show with a female lead, and then, you know, it never panned out.
Yeah.
What's interesting too when you go back and watch the episodes is there's a serious element to the show, like the crimes he's stopping are real crimes, you know, and the real terrorist he's going after and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. With the flip side of the comedy of, but he doesn't know anything what he's doing. He doesn't know how to control this suit, control these powers, you know, like I think in the second episode, he learns how to turn invisible, but he can't control turning it on and off.
Yeah.
So he just keeps appearing and disappearing throughout the episode.
Oh, and the other thing that if you're going to watch these the series, and you really should, Robert Culp as Bill Maxwell.
Yes.
One of the greatest parts of all time. He was the FBI liaison for the hero character. He worked with him to actually try and steer him to doing some good. But his character was just hysterical and awesome. Yes. He was like the dead set. There's only three dimensions and everything I see is all that exists. Really straight man, FBI company man character, and watching him having to deal with somebody who can put on a suit and then bench press a car and then fumble the car and have it fall on top of him. it was just amazing. It was really good acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's definitely one of those, for the 80s, he was the perfect choice for that role. You know, it's almost like, I guess, I don't know. It was almost maybe I'm trying to think of a good equivalent today. Maybe, Liam Neeson playing that role, you know, the straight guy.
I don't know. I think it would be too serious. I think actually one suggestion I saw is who would be, because the problem is you got to play the straight man, but you got to also be able to be funny with it. And one suggestion I saw who I actually think might play it really well would be Bruce Campbell.
Huh. Oh, actually, yeah. Wait a minute. Now that you say that, that could work. That definitely could work.
Yeah. The harder role I think to cast would be the role of Hinckley. You know, to find some young, fresh-faced actor who could play that part, be funny in playing that part, and pull that off.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I kind of think you do go with an unknown in that role too.
Yeah. Yeah, because everyone else has sort of perceptual baggage.
Right. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully we'll get more news soon. But, yeah, it seems like they're definitely going forward with this. And, John, you said before we start recording, I hadn't heard this was official yet. They are doing a Heroes reboot?
Yeah. Wait, John. Well.
John? Yes. I am talking to you.
Heroes.
Wait, yeah, they're doing Heroes Reborn, right? That's a thing that's not news really. That's been news for some time.
Okay, maybe because I'm was never a big Heroes fan. Sorry.
Yeah.
I wasn't following any news with that. So okay, so they are definitely going forward with it then.
Right, they're doing a Heroes Reborn TV miniseries that's scheduled for next year for 2015.
Okay.
I'm not the one who said that.
I didn't say that either.
You said you were excited about it before we recorded.
Greatest American Hero.
No, but you also mentioned Heroes Reboot.
Ugh. I didn't like Heroes.
I liked Heroes until it got bad. Like, the first season of Heroes was decent.
Well,
it went downhill.
The last episode of the first season was when it hit the wall. Yeah. Everybody's waiting for a huge, you know, battle between Siler and him. See, even the dog agrees with it. It was definitely a dog.
I don't know what his problem is. He's in the kitchen. He's just barking.
He doesn't like reboots.
Something's shiny. So yeah, they're apparently bringing it back, doing currently a miniseries, but I'm sure if it plays well, if they make money off of it, I'm sure they'll try to get a couple more seasons out of it.
Right.
But they're not necessarily bringing back all the people that were in the show. They're starting fresh.
Which is just fine.
Yeah.
Really. Yes. Do you think the cheerleader must die in the miniseries?
I think we've done that to death.
Yeah, they beat that horse to death.
So. Yeah.
But she didn't die. Wait a minute. Hold on.
No, I'm. Yeah.
No, but they kept hinting that she was something more throughout the entire thing. I don't think that ever.
Right. They kept leading back to her. Well, I mean, she ended up having a power, but
yeah,
you know, she had the ability to heal from pretty much anything. But that aside, they lost their thread. Like, is it basically the guy who, you know, created the show in the first season, left after the first season to go do other projects, and the writing team just sort of took things in a weird, different direction, and it screwed it up.
Mm, they also had the writer's strike.
Yeah, there was that too. But
well, there was an episode, speaking of the Big Bang Theory, which I mentioned earlier in the episode, bringing everything full circle, boys and girls, this is how you do it. there's an episode of Big Bang Theory where he was talking about the new season of Alpha, and this is when Alpha's was canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a whole episode of
on my heart.
Yeah, it was a whole episode about his Sheldon. I'm sorry, Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. His obsessive need for closure. And so the line was, you know, he's like, "Oh well, Firefly. They wrapped everything up with a movie."
Yep.
And I can't remember what other show he mentions. And then the final one, he goes, "And Heroes. They just made the quality lesser and lesser each season until we didn't care it was canceled."
Yeah, that's about
not inaccurate.
Yes, very, very true. So, sorry, Heroes.
So speaking of quality television, you know, we know there's a lot of superhero television coming out, and you know, imminently today, tomorrow, well, in the last couple of days from when this will post, and in the next couple of months. But there's a new one that's joining the lineup in the new season. Not this season, but in the future.
Okay.
DC is trying to have more of a presence, it seems. in the TV market.
Oh, Supergirl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supergirl is greenlit. It's going to happen.
I seem to think we discussed Supergirl.
Well, I wasn't there.
Okay, so yeah, Supergirl is greenlit. They also got a channel, I believe.
CBS has volunteered to pick it up because they're currently out of the superhero game and want a piece of it.
Right. I'm sure
every other major network has at least one show.
Yes, and I'm sure there's plenty of cable stations who don't have something that would definitely pick up a show if they could.
Yeah.
At this point, And actually, it's funny because this actually ties back to something else I saw today. I think it was the showrunner from Arrow, was talking about the ties in with Flash.
Yeah.
You know, for the season premiere. And then went as far as to say, oh, he wouldn't mind doing tie-ins with other television shows.
Hmm.
And of course, you know, people speculated, oh, would you want to see a Gotham tie-in? And to me, I would say no, because Gotham. Yeah.
That would be really difficult to tie into because it creates this weird continuity then. Basically, it creates a continuity where the Arrow and Flash are established, but Batman isn't yet.
Right. However, Supergirl, I wouldn't mind seeing them tying that in.
Yeah, definitely I could see that tying in.
But how would that work when they're on different networks, I wonder?
It's harder, but it's not impossible. I mean, technically, it's been done before. Like, for instance... you know, Buffy and Angel, which were originally, you know, Angel was a spinoff of Buffy, but then they switched networks. Buffy went to a different network, and yet they still occasionally, rarely, but occasionally had crossovers between the shows.
Right. That's true. So, I mean, they could definitely do it. And it would make sense, you know, even again, like they did in Arrow, they had the origin of the Flash, you know, you could do the origin of Supergirl or introducing her on The Flash and bringing that into, you know, the new show, whatever.
I think if they were doing it on the same network, they could do it that way. I think it would be weird. Here's the reason I don't see them doing that with it. If it were to go to CBS, because there's no benefit to the CW to promote the spinoff.
No, there's only a benefit to Warner Brothers to promote their own shows.
There's that. But it'd be more, I think we'd more likely see crossovers once they're both established because it's essentially cross promotion at that point.
Right.
Whereas if one show is there and the other is yet to be, you know, it's sort of a lackluster. The benefit is only on one side.
Right. So along those lines, this is interesting too, so they threw out, yes, so you'd like to do more crossovers with other related superhero shows. We also know Constantine is coming out, this year as well.
Yay.
So DC is definitely building a large television presence right now. And possibly crossing over some of more of those characters. Kind of mirroring the Marvel universe, but on a small scale.
But I don't know they're going to cross over Constantine with the rest.
Not necessarily, but we don't know that they're not.
Right.
Well, the thing is, Constantine's from the Vertigo imprint, so...
My question is, do you think in the long term that could be detrimental to DC in the sense of they've already said the movie and the TV universes are going to be separate. They're not going to cross over at all. They made that very clear. So is that going to confuse people that the more they build this TV universe, now all of a sudden, oh, we can't see any of that in the movies?
I would say.
Well, I think it depends. I think that if they try to weave their entire TV network's universe into one, I think that would be more impactfully confusing once you see these characters showing up on the big screen, if they do at all. But if there's a bunch of disparate continuities, you know, whereas you have the Arrow Flash continuity, but Supergirl is separate and Gotham is its own thing, and Constantine, you know, doesn't really cross over with anything else. I think if you have all those being disparate, then it's easier to swallow the movie universe being its own thing as well.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I just feel, I mean, I'm sorry to toot the Marvel horn again, you know, be the Marvel man, but they're doing it right, you know? And it's, yeah, okay, maybe the tie-ins last season for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. weren't the greatest, but they were still there, and they were still cool to see and feel like, you know, oh, this is all one cohesive universe.
Yeah.
And the DC to say, ah, we're not going to do that, I think is just a bad decision on their part.
Oh, yes and no. I think that, right, but I agree that I think it's got to be all or nothing. So they either go for the full continuity or they don't. And I think that I understand the decision they made here, the fact that they're not going for that continuity, because they've already started establishing things in Arrow, you know, prior to these movies really getting off the ground that they don't want to have to adhere to. And again, and we've talked about this before, if they start to try to keep that continuity, it requires them to think about that with every character they introduce, that, you know, this is a character that could eventually be on the big screen. So, whereas the, you know, Marvel has already thought that through, and they're purposely tailoring the TV universe to be connected, but really only dealing with sort of a disparate side group of characters that you don't really have to worry about their on-screen perception necessarily.
Right. I would throw this out there too. It's a rumor I heard maybe 12 years ago. And it seems to hold true to some extent. But Warner Brothers apparently had said at one point, talking about TVs versus movies, is that if you see a character on the small screen, they have no intention of making a movie based on them. You know, they don't, because again, they don't like the crossover of the TV and the movie universe.
Right.
So I'm floating that out there, that saying, okay, so we probably won't ever see a Green Arrow movie or see him in the Justice League or Supergirl. You know, now that they're greenlighting a Supergirl television show. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not true anymore.
Well, yes and no. They have already sort of said that there's going to be a Flash Green Lantern movie, which would suggest we're going to see Flash on the big screen. But also, as we discussed, it's probably a different Flash. It's probably not going to be the one that we're going to see on TV.
Which also makes me wonder, too. So if they're going with it's Barry Allen in the television show, are they going to go with Wally West in the movie?
That's an interesting observation.
You know, just, again, to keep them separate, you know, in a sense, you know, okay, yes, you have a Flash TV show, but we're going to have Flash in the movie and have a different, you know, we'll have Wally West so that people don't complain about the differences in the character. I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on this one for you folks.
Yeah.
See what happens. But guys, we're at a little over an hour now, so.
I think I just turned into a pumpkin.
Oh, we didn't even get to talk about Powers yet.
Powers? Okay, so what about Powers?
Powers. It's another one of the series that was it Marvel's coming out with?
Is that a Marvel show? I didn't know that was a Marvel show.
I didn't know that was Marvel either. Wait, hold on.
And Jessica Jones, I think, is going to be another one of the TV series.
Well, yeah, there's a set.
That's one of the Netflix.
There are four Netflix shows that are in the works for under Marvel. And that's Daredevil, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones. But Powers, I didn't think was necessarily a Marvel thing.
What I'm seeing here is December 2014.
Yes, but I don't think it's a Marvel property is what I'm saying.
Oh, then why is it on the Marvel page?
Liar.
It's Icon Comics, so...
Okay.
I mean, well, it's Icon Comics, but aren't they an imprint of Marvel?
No. It's on the Marvel page because Powers was created by Bendis, who has done a lot of writing over at Marvel. So I'm sure they're just promoting something he did.
There's this thing called advertising, where people will put their content on other people's sites to promote it. Very funny. It's an industry. I think you have some peripheral contact.
So yes, it's actually from Image Comics, not Marvel Comics. And yes, there is a TV show coming based on the comic book.
You mean Icon Comics?
Well, it was originally Image Comics, and then it became part of Icon Comics, which is an imprint of Marvel now.
Oh, see, so they bought it. So there you go. There's your tie-in.
Yes.
But it was originally Image Comics.
Right, from 2000 2004.
Yes, and so when is the show coming out, John, since you're on the page?
December 2014 on the PlayStation Network.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's one of those shows.
Yes, meaning yeah. It's one of those shows none of us will ever see.
Yes, well, I have a PlayStation.
All right, one of us will ever see.
But I don't currently have a membership. You have to be a gold member to watch those shows. No.
So I go back to none of us will ever do.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Who's in it?
Let's see. Charlie Houston. It's written by Charlie Houston and it's directed by David Slade and
Santa Copley, yeah. Susan Hayward, Michelle Forbes, Max Fowler, Adam Godley,
Eddie Izzard.
There you go, Eddie Izzard.
Oh.
That's worth the thing right there.
One actor we know who's probably in a bit part in the movie, nice. in the show. Yeah, so, yeah, because he didn't get top billing, so obviously he's not one of the main characters.
No, he's just one of the bad guys.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, usually the more popular the actor, the more villainous they are in
the
show.
He does good bad guy. He's playing a character named Wolf.
Yeah, Big Bad Wolf.
Well, there you go.
Well, all of the main characters have single word names, and he is one of them. So I don't know, but he's listed in an unknown number of episodes, so he may not be a regular character.
Right, right. So, all right. So if you have a PlayStation, everyone, go check that out in December. I'm sure these actors need the work, so come on, watch the show, support it. And on that note, do you guys have anything else to add, Ben?
I got nothing.
All right, I gotta go kill my dog, apparently.
We are not advocating cruelty to animals.
No, we're not advocating cruelty to animals, but I am sure that there is a squirrel or something outside, and that is what he's barking at.
No dogs were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Need to kill the squirrels.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I have to let my dog out so he can attack. No, but see, hold on. I have to share this. So, no, what'll happen is, and I swear they do this on purpose, the squirrels will sit in the backyard, and then he runs out, and they run up the side of the garage, but then they sit on the roof, and they stare at him.
Of course they do.
They taunt him. I know. It's like they're doing it on purpose. I don't understand. Well, I do. It's funny. So... Yes, I believe squirrels do taunt dogs on purpose, and that is why he's so upset, because he knows they're out there taunting him right now. So
yeah,
I have to let him out so that he can be teased some more in person.
Good luck with that.
Yes, nice. Yes. So, alrighty then. On that note, if no one has anything else to add...
Don't let your tail get caught at the door.
Tail, wait. Cape, hold on.
I was talking about your dog.
Oh, okay. So, as always, ladies and gentlemen... Don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Superhero Speak promo, take one. Get your promo done.
So do you read comic books? Do you enjoy comic book movies? Well, then you should be listening to Superhero Speak.
What's that, Dave?
It is a weekly podcast where we talk about comic book movies, TV shows, cartoons, and all other things comic book related.
That sounds great. Who hosts it?
Well, I host it.
Oh, I'm out.
We also have Ben. You're one of the hosts.
Oh, you lost me.
Okay. Again. We also have John.
I'll do anything for money.
If John's there, I might show up every once in a while.
And occasionally we have Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Once in a while, when things are rough on the budget, I might step in and help out.
It's a good thing we have that padding in the budget to have him show up every once in a while.
He shows up for Oreos and orange juice. So I don't know.
Have you seen his IMDb page? He needs the work, really.
The Headless Horseman was a hell of a role. Hell of a role.
If you want a podcast that feels like the conversations that you have in your local comic book shop, then you should check us out on superheroespeak.com, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Podcasters, I'm going to have you redo that entire promo. It wasn't working for me at all.
It was the plaid and the stripes, wasn't it?
Listen, you had an hour at Mood. I don't know what you did with your time.
Mostly slingshotting bow ties.
So, Mr. Gunn, what is your favorite comic book?
Personally, I like The Adventures of Superman because I love that costume. It's so skin tight and it's adequately designed.
Have you ever heard of the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
I have not.
I think you would enjoy them.
Oh, it sounds naughty. David, you rascal.
Oh my gosh. Holy